So this is from Revelation 3, verses 7 to 13. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you've kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of the trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have, so that no one will take your crown. The one who's victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will they leave it. I will write on them the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on them my new name. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit of God says to the churches.
Well, good morning again. And it's really great to be here with you in the garden at New Hope. Yay! This is very exciting. I am so happy to be here. I'm particularly happy to be here because I arrived a bit early this morning. And I actually realised I don't have keys to New Hope. Joy won't give me any. So I was sort of slightly locked out. I don't have a key to the front door. And as I was stood outside the church, I had this sort of moment of revelation where I realised it's a little bit like the last 12 weeks where you and I have been locked out or locked in. And it feels like that, doesn't it? We've either been locked out of schools, we've been locked out of our places where we work, we've been locked out of getting together with friends and family, and we've been locked in our houses. It's been a long time and it's been really, really challenging. And into all of that, probably all of us are speculating about the future. When are our kids going to go back? When are we going to be able to get back into this building here and worship together? When are we going to be able to meet up with our family, the people we love, and actually give them a hug and spend time together? It's been really tough time for lots of people. And we're going to take a moment now to pray and pray that God really encourages us this morning through his word and as we gather from all our different homes around this area. So let's just press pause and we're going to pray together and ask God to speak to us this morning. Father, I want to thank you for that word Jenny had of your love pouring down upon New Hope, upon each person watching online, each person here. Jesus, would this time together this morning be like an oasis in the desert? We pray for fresh streams of living water to come and pour down upon each one of us, giving us hope, giving us your peace. Lord, may we know that multitude of saints gathered around, cheering us on, through what's been a really difficult time, Lord. So would your love rain down upon each one of us today? In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. It has been a really tough time, hasn't it? I'm sure for some of you, you have felt locked in or locked out, and it's been quite a lonely time. I've really missed being with all of you. It's been months since I've been here, and it is so good to be back. I'm loving being here, even with just a few of you and more of you online. But we realise how important it is for us to gather together and to worship together and pray together. And these words that we've just heard from Amy in the book of Revelation remind us that actually, however we are feeling this morning, we have the key. You have the key. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. And in this passage that we've just heard, there's a lot of closed doors and open doors, and there's a key. And we're going to take some time to try and understand what is all of this about, and then what does it mean for you and for me. So if we go back in Scripture to Isaiah chapter 22, verse 22, we read about the key to the house of David. And then in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus speaks to Peter and he talks about the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And then in Revelation chapter 3 that we've just heard read, in this letter to the church in Philadelphia, we read in verse 7 about the key of David. We heard this: these are the words of him who is holy and true and who holds the key of David. Now, still to this day, in some countries, for individuals who've either served in a particular way or who have status or have done something really good, they are given the keys to a city. So it's one way in which people are rewarded. In the UK, we don't necessarily give keys to the city, but we talk about people having the freedom of a city. And so whichever way we look at it, this is about access and it's about freedom. And here in Scripture, the key that we read about in Isaiah and then in Matthew and in the book of Revelation is Jesus. The key is Jesus. He is the one who holds the key of David, the one who holds the keys of the kingdom. And he is the one who gives us that access to the Father and leads us into greater and greater freedom in our lives. Now, the background to this church in Philadelphia is that, in fact, Jenny touched on this. Philadelphia was a really tough place to live. It was on a fault line, and there were regular earthquakes there. So the people were living in fear of earthquakes, of their lives. But it was also, as Jenny said, a really key city. It was a gateway to other cities and towns in the area. So it was an important place. And we read that the church in Philadelphia was small. We heard in that passage that the church had little strength. And they were at risk of being overpowered by a larger Jewish population. So basically, it was really tough. You know, if they weren't fearful of oppression and persecution, then they were fearful of their lives being wiped out by earthquakes. They were really tough times for the early church. And I've been reflecting on the last 12 weeks for us, and they have been really tough times for the church in the 21st century. I mean, we've seen our buildings close, which hasn't happened for decades, centuries even. We've seen over 40,000 people die tragically in this country, over 400,000 people die around the world. We've just been praying for areas of the world like Brazil, where the coronavirus death rate is increasing. We're seeing a mental health epidemic in our nation that we don't really understand yet. We've seen people living in isolation. We've seen families ripped apart. We've seen people losing their jobs. We're seeing a financial downturn. It's really difficult. And yet, into this mix, we've got garden centres that are now open, shops that are opening, and yet our church buildings are still closed. You know, it's not that long ago that leaders of nations would have called people to pray during a time of crisis like this. And yet not anymore. So what does this passage of scripture teach us? What can we learn from this church, this small church in Philadelphia that we read is faithful and obedient? And the main thing that I want to say to you this morning that I see as I read through this letter is the encouragement for you and me to keep going. Keep going. I was saying to Jenny just before we began this morning, when she asked how we are doing as a family, we have had it with homeschooling. We have totally had it. At the beginning, it was like a novelty. We're like, woohoo, we're all at home together. This is fun. The sun is shining. Don't have to take the kids to school. But 12 weeks in, last week, we had a total meltdown. The kids have had enough. They're like, Dad, Mum, we do not want you teaching us anymore. We don't want to teach them anymore. We are done. Maybe you are fed up. You've had enough with just being isolated. Maybe you've had enough of remotely working from home, staring at a computer. Maybe you're really struggling because you haven't got work. Maybe you're finding marriage really hard, or you're in a relationship but you're separated physically. Perhaps it's your health that is the battle. These can be really, really difficult times. Maybe you are struggling in your faith. I thought it was really interesting. There was a survey came out just this week that they've worked out during this coronavirus period, 5% of people who were not praying before have started to pray, which is great, and we applaud that. But what really concerns me is 6% of people who were praying have stopped. You know, all these online services across the country, we saw the numbers increasing quite dramatically in the early weeks. But I think there's a sense that people are tired. You know, maybe you're in that place now where actually it's just a battle to keep going, just to put one foot in front of the other. Perseverance is one of the key battlegrounds in the Christian faith. Here in this letter to the church in Philadelphia in chapter 3, the church is praised because they keep God's word. They keep God's commands. Basically, they keep going. And so they're commended for keeping on going in the faith. And so as I've been praying for you, New Hope, I just have this sense this morning that God wants to say to you very simply, keep going. Keep praying. Keep reading the Bible. Keep gathering together online. Keep meeting in your small groups. Keep loving your neighbours. Keep on in the faith. Keep believing that God is with you even when you can't feel it. Keep believing that God is the God of the impossible, that he can break through and make the impossible possible. You know, one of my greatest heroes in the faith is William Wilberforce. Partly, I think, because he's a Scot and I have 100% Scottish blood, but mainly because of his perseverance and his endurance against hardship to fight and battle against injustice and against the abolition, or for the abolition of the slave trade. 11 times Wilberforce brought a bill before Parliament to bring down the slave trade. 11 times it was pushed back. It was finally on the 26th of July, 1833, after this man had faced death threats and slander and persecution and most of his colleagues, the politicians, rising up against him, that this bill was accepted in the House of Commons. It was 3 days later that Wilberforce died. But he was asked towards the end of his life, what was the key? And he said the key was God's persevering grace in his life through Jesus. God's persevering grace. You know, I think some of you need to hear this morning that God has not abandoned you. God loves you, as Jenny said. God is with you by his Holy Spirit. And in the same way that God's persevering grace pours down onto you and me in our lives, it allows us to take one step in front of the other and to keep going. The church in Philadelphia is pointed towards where this hope comes from. It's kind of a way in which really the Lord is speaking to them and saying, this is how I want you to keep going. This is the reason why you should have hope, why you should keep going. Because for you and me, there are so many questions at the moment, aren't there? I mean, we are all speculating about what the future looks like, even if we try not to. We can't help it. We want to know. When are the kids going to go back to school? When am I going to be able to go back to work? When can we gather again in this building? When can I see my family and just give them a hug and tell them that I love them? Be with friends who I haven't seen for weeks and months. Part of the challenge that you and I face at the moment is the unknown. We're just unsettled because there's so much uncertainty. And when I was reading this passage, I realized it was the same for this church in Philadelphia. You know, they didn't know whether they were going to get mobbed, attacked by those who were wanting to persecute them and see them removed from the city. They didn't know whether an earthquake was going to come and wipe them out altogether. And yet into this uncertainty and all this questioning, in chapter 3, verse 11, we read Jesus saying, I, Jesus, am coming soon. In fact, he says it in a number of places in the New Testament. If you flick through to the end of the book of Revelation in chapter 22, you'll read these words. Jesus says, I am coming soon. And it is this hope, this truth of Jesus returning that helps you and me endure and persevere and keep going in the faith. It's kind of the how. How do we keep going? Well, we look to Jesus. We look to the strength he gives us today, and we look to his coming again. And as you know, in Scripture, in a number of places, it talks about Jesus' return. But that to me kind of suggests that Jesus isn't here, which I don't find very helpful, because he's not just ascended to the right hand of the Father and abandoned us and left us alone. He is here with you and me now by his Holy Spirit. He's with you in your home, whether you feel it or not. And so elsewhere in Scripture, we read about Jesus reappearing. And I think that's much closer to the truth. It's a helpful way to us for us to think about this. Because there are times, aren't there, when we sense Jesus close to us. When we pray, or just even here worshipping in the garden together. When we gather online, when we go out for a walk. I was in Streatley yesterday with a family. And we walked up, you might know that big hill in Streatley. And it was a beautiful day, blue sky. And as you know, it rained a few days before really heavily, and we got to the top of the hill with the kids, and we were looking out over the Thames Valley, and it was like everything was in technicolor. You know, the trees were so green and the flowers were so vibrant, and we looked down at the valley and you could see the river and a train coming into the platform in Streatley, and I was like nearly in tears because I was in awe of God's glorious creation, just standing there on that hill. And the kids looked at me and they said, Dad, are you all right? I was like, no, not really. I'm about to weep, but I can't really explain why. But we sense the presence of God at times, don't we? It's like the veil is drawn back and we see Jesus. But there's also times when it feels like the curtain is closed. There's times when it feels really hard, when we're alone, when we haven't seen people for weeks and months. There's times when situations around us change. People we know, we love, die when our prayers are not always answered, when we face the hardship of losing a job or a change in our financial situation, when we face the racism and injustice that we've seen in our country and our world in the last few weeks, and something rises up within us and says, no, this is not right. Part of us, every single one of us, longs for that day when God will bring about his perfect justice, when God's mercy and love will flow like a mighty river, when there will be no more racism, no more injustice, no more pain, and no more suffering. And until that day, you and I are called to bring heaven down to earth here. And that is part of what this church in Philadelphia is commended for. You know, these open and closed doors. The Lord is saying the door is open for you and for me to reach out and to make a difference in the name of Jesus. Now, the door is open for you and me in the name of Jesus to stand with the poor and the marginalized, to stand in the name of Jesus with those who are struggling with their mental health, to stand and speak out in the name of Jesus for justice and equality for all people, regardless of their color or their tribe or their language, to stand with those who are oppressed, to speak out for the lost and the broken and the lonely. And as we do this, we begin to answer our own prayers. We begin to answer the Lord's prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. In verse 11 of chapter 3, we read these words, and I'm going to finish with this. We read this. Jesus says, I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. You know, the word corona means crown. But it's not going to be coronavirus that will have the last word in this world. It's not going to be racism that will have the last word in this world. It's not going to be injustice, and it's not going to be suffering. It is going to be our King, the crowned and glorious Jesus, when he reappears in all his glory. And it is that truth, that reality of him reappearing. I am coming soon, he says, that helps you and me in our lives today just take one step in front of the other, our daily bread, and to keep going. So let's pray now as we ask God to help us persevere and keep going as we wait for him. And I just want to give a moment of silence for each one of us to come before the Lord. And we've all got our battles, we've all got our frustrations, our sadnesses, the cries of our heart. And I just encourage you in a moment of silence to bring those before the Lord. Some of you won't even be able to pray. We read in Scripture sometimes a groan is enough. But know that God loves you. God is with you by his Spirit. He hears you. So let's offer before the Lord our battles and struggles. And then we're going to ask for the help of his Holy Spirit. Lord, we come before you this morning and we pray for your help. Lord, help us to keep going. I want to pray particularly for those people who are really struggling in their walk with you, Lord. Those who realize maybe even now that they've stopped praying, stopped reading scripture, stopped meeting together online, stopped believing. Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, come and draw alongside each one of us. We pray you would encourage us, Lord. Spur us on in the faith. As Jenny was saying, help us to stand, Lord. Put the armour of God around us. Help us to stand. Lord, put that shield of faith around each person who's watching this now. Put the sword of the Spirit, that's the word of God, in our hands. May the wind of the Holy Spirit blow over us afresh, over New Hope. Jesus, that you would come and blow away doubt, blow away fatigue, blow away some of the questions that we're wrestling with, and help us to have that childlike faith. Lord, we thank you that you are with us. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you are coming again soon. And in that time between now and then, Lord, stir us into action, that we would pray and speak and work to see your kingdom come, your will be done, here on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, Lord, that you will have the final word, and it is glorious, it is good, it is just, it is majestic. Lord, give us a picture of that day, of what is to come, and lead us forward, your people, sons and daughters of the living God. Breathe upon us again, we pray today. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. Amen. We're going to return to worship now. Harv is going to come and lead us. And I just finish again by those two words. Keep going.